What a blessing. It's good to see Miss Teresa up and moving around, even though slowly. Still good to see her. Amen. I don't know who holds tomorrow, but I know. I don't know what about tomorrow, but I know who holds it, right? I was thinking a song as we were singing. I thought, sometimes I don't even worry about tomorrow. I worry about today. Lord, just help me through today. We'll get to tomorrow when we get to it, but today's bad enough. I'm glad that I can dwell in His presence. I'm glad He's the one I can call on. If you have your Bibles today, we're going to be in the book of Genesis. Genesis 16. Following in the footsteps of faith, it's amazing the depths to which God's people can sink. Here's Abram, a man who's following God, literally by faith. He has believed God enough to leave his homeland and his family behind. He's trusted God through trials and battles that probably would have made many other men turn around and quit. But he went forward. As I read this passage of Scripture and been meditating on it for a while, thinking on Abram, I come to one conclusion. I'm glad that my deeds aren't written in a book that everybody can read. But it's quite a passage in the life of Abram, Sarai, and Hagar. For all of Abram's faith and his good deeds, one of the things we see in this passage is he's still human. He still trusts in the flesh when he should be walking by faith. Sarai presents a solution to a problem. But there's trouble with it. There's always trouble whenever we seek solutions outside of God's will for our life. The root of the problem in this passage is simply unbelief. Something that all of us struggle with. Something that all of us are often defeated by. Unbelief. So let's read through a little bit. Let's begin in verse number 1. The Word of God says, "Now Sarai, Abram's wife, bare him no children. She had a handmaid, an Egyptian, whose name was Hagar. And Sarai said unto Abram, Behold now, the Lord hath restrained," the word restrain means hold back, "hath restrained me from bearing. I pray thee, go in unto my maid. It may be that I may obtain children by her." And Abram hearkened to the voice of Sarai. Sarai, Abram's wife, took Hagar, her maid, the Egyptian, after Abram had dwelt 10 years in the land of Canaan, and gave her to her husband Abram to be his wife. And he went in unto Hagar, and she conceived. When she saw that she had conceived, her mistress was despised in her eyes. If you take notes, Dad, I encourage you to write down this first thought, the reasons for the unbelief. The reasons for it. There are reasons behind this, what we're going to probably term a fiasco. There are many of them. I believe the underlying issue is unbelief. Simply, if you read chapter 15, God and Abram had a tremendous conference. And God gave him promises on top of promises. Some of them were conditional, but the big ones were unconditional. Just simply, I'm going to do this. But then we arrive in chapter 16 and some years have passed. An unbelief has crept in. I'll talk about this later on, but one of the things that we need to realize is this. God doesn't work on our calendar. He didn't work on our time frame. Just because He's not working within our time frame doesn't mean He's not working. We just don't see the big picture. But Abram and Sarah are childless. God has blessed them with many riches, a large household outside of no children. And then this day and time in which they lived, if a couple didn't have children, they could be mocked, cut out of a part of society. So one of the reasons for their unbelief is they were desiring the acceptance of those around them. In that society, it was literally considered a disgrace. But this society also thought nothing of multiple marriages. It was entirely legal in that society in that day and time for this all to happen. But just because something is legal in our society doesn't mean it's right in God's eyes. You see throughout the entire Old Testament, you see several polygamous relationships, more than one wife, men having multiple wives. We won't even get into why that's such a bad idea. You never see, you know, women having multiple husbands because they're much smarter than the men are. But we see often that God's children are guilty of lowering their standards to be accepted in the culture. We see churches doing that today, Christians doing that today. May I remind you there must be a clear line of separation between God's people and the world. The Word of God says, "Wherefore come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, touch not the unclean thing, and I'll receive you." They were desiring acceptance, but also they had gone down to Egypt. So could we say that one of the reasons for their unbelief was the baggage that they were dragging? How many of you have done bad things or wrong things or stupid things in your past? How many of you think that you are carrying a little baggage sometimes because of some of that? Some of you, don't look at your spouse. The Bible tells us in verse number 1, it says, "And Sarai, Abram's wife, bare him no children, and she had a handmaid, an Egyptian." Well, where do Egyptians come from? There you go. Thank you. Egypt. It wasn't a trick question. Egypt. That's where Egyptians come from, an Egyptian handmaid. Well, how did they get an Egyptian handmaid? Well, duh, maybe it was the last time that Abram decided to disbelieve God and go his own way instead of trusting God. The Bible tells us that Hagar was an Egyptian. She was part of the possessions that Abram and them brought back after they left Egypt. May I remind you that whenever you go into sin, even though God forgives you and cleanses you, often we always bring scars and baggage out because of it. The Word of God says, "Be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever man soweth, there shall he also reap. He that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting." They were doubting, they were struggling with unbelief because they'd done it before. But I'm going to tell you one of the biggest reasons why they were unbelievers at this point. Because they were doubting the promises of God. If you go back in chapter 15, which we won't, but I want to remind you that God met with Abram in a very real, personal way. And it's my conviction today that doubt toward the Word and the promises of the Lord account for more of our troubles than any other single thing in our lives. We can read what He has promised us, but when we promise it and fulfill it immediately, we begin to doubt and we try to find a way to make it happen ourselves. If you don't write anything else down today, I encourage you to write down these next three thoughts. I didn't put them up on the screen, I don't think. I might. Did I? No, I didn't. And here's the question that I ask myself. When will I ever learn? And here are three things. When will I ever learn, number one, that God always keeps His word? When will I ever learn that God always keeps His word? How many of you believe that? Believe that? But how many of us have failed at that? Amen. When will I ever learn that lesson? How often do I have to be taken to the woodshed to learn that lesson? Forever, O Lord, Thy word is settled in heaven. When will I learn that lesson? I see that here. Number two thing that I keep asking, when will I ever learn this? When will I ever learn that God is a God of order and He doesn't run on my schedule? God doesn't run on my schedule. I was going to say like an airplane, but if you've flown recently, never mind. You know, men needed a Savior for 4,000 years before Jesus came. But the Bible says in the fullness of time. When will I learn that God doesn't run on my schedule? When will I learn that God always keeps His word? And this last one. When will I ever learn that God doesn't need my help to accomplish His will? When will I ever learn that God doesn't need my help to accomplish His will? Somewhere in Psalms it says, the Lord says, the earth is mine and the fullness thereof. I think it's Psalm 50, somewhere around here. I want you to see with me the reasons for unbelief. They were looking for acceptance. They had baggage because of previous sins. But really, they just doubted the Word of God. As a result of that unbelief, they made some choices that would affect them and really the entire world. I want you to see with me number two, the reactions. The reaction to the unbelief. Well, verse number four, it says again, and he went in unto Hagar, and she conceived. And she saw that she had conceived. Her mistress was despised in her eyes. Reactions. All three of these participants react differently and wrongly. And I believe that everyone in this room, we've all reacted to bad situations or to sinful situations or problems that we've gotten ourselves into in one of these three ways. I want you to look with me in verse number six. We'll deal with Abram first. There's a man in a house. By the way, when sin and its problems or any problem from any source for that matter arrives in our lives, most people in this room will act in one of these three ways. Abram, verse number six. But Abram said to Sarai, "Behold, thy maid is in thy hand. Do to her as it pleaseth thee." Abram reacted by being unaccountable. Not my monkeys, not my circus. Amen. In my case, not my clowns, not my circus. We don't want nothing to do with clowns. No Ronald McDonald, no other clown ever. I do not believe you can shoot a clown enough. Abram said, "She's hers. It's your problem." He tried to pretend that there was really no problem. And if there was a problem, it was Sarai's to deal with. You know what he did? He totally ignored his responsibility. I'm unaccountable. Can I tell you something today? When we ignore small problems, they become big problems. There are many who approach the problems of life with a similar attitude. You go through the Word of God, and you see example after example of a parent, a father in particular. I think King David, he ignored the issue with Amnon and Tamar. And eventually, Amnon was killed by his own brother because King David wouldn't do anything about it. He ignored it. A little problem became a huge problem. Abram reacted by being unaccountable. It may make us uncomfortable to deal with things, but we must. And then look at it, verse number 5. Let's see how Sarai reacted. Sarai said unto Abram, "My wrong be upon thee. I have given my maid unto thy bosom, and when she saw that she had conceived, I was despised in her eyes. The Lord judge between me and thee." Sarai responded by being unreasonable. Unreasonable. I know this is hard for some of y'all to believe, but sometimes people respond to sinful situations or bad problems in their life by simply being unreasonable. They're miserable, and they want everybody around them to be miserable. Misery loves company. Here's a perfect example of if mama ain't happy, ain't nobody happy. May I remind you that that's not a Christ-like way to respond. But the fruit of the Spirit is joy. I'm sorry, love. Starts off with love. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering. You put that in there for married folks. Gentleness. Oh. Goodness, faith, meekness, tempers. Against such there is no law. God would have us to learn to handle the problems of life without attacking others or attempting to make them as miserable as we are. And all God's people said, "Oh me." Amen. Hagar. She's involved in this situation, same way. She didn't have much of a choice. She's property at this point. She was given to Abram. Abram had a physical relationship with her. She conceived, had a child. Sarai begins to, at the end of verse number 6, deal hardly with her, harshly, in an unfair way, an unkind way. And look with me at the end of verse number 6, and I want you to see what Hagar did. Abram was unaccountable. Sarai was unreasonable. And in Hagar, it says, she fled from her face. You know what Hagar did? She became unavailable. She decided that the answer to her problem was simply to run. She packed up and left to get away. By the way, this is probably one of the most common responses. People have a problem in church, guess what? Pack up. People have a problem in their job, pack up. People have a problem in their marriage, pack up. Sometimes God wants us to face our problems. The nation of Israel, a little bit later on, as they grow into a nation, after they've been taken captive, Moses begins to lead them out. They come into the promised land. They run into people they call giants. What'd they do? They ran from them. But they couldn't go into the promised land until they faced those giants. You know, there are some things in our lives that God simply wants us to own up to and face. Verse number 7. The Word of God says, and the angel of the Lord, by the way, that phrase indicates that this is the Lord Jesus Christ before Bethlehem. This is Jesus showing up in the life of Hagar. And I love the word that is next. And the angel of the Lord, let's read that word together. Ready? The angel of the Lord found. Huh. You know what the word found means? He was looking. Searching. Jesus is always looking, searching. And the angel of the Lord found her by the fountain of water in the wilderness, by the fountain of the way of Shur. And notice what he says. And he said unto her, Hagar. Jesus knew her name. Sarai's maid. You know what he knows? He knows what's going on. Where are you coming from? By the way, this right here is a rhetorical question. He knew. He's wanting her to think about it. And then, where are you going? I'm going back home. I've quit. I'm running away. And she said, I flee from the face of my mistress, Sarah. And the angel of the Lord said unto her, return to thy mistress and submit. The word submit there means to bend. Bend your will. Bend your pride. Submit thyself unto her hand. These three characters in this drama had to learn three things. Did I make three slides out of these, Amber? No, made one. Abram had to learn to face it. Sarai had to learn to deal with it. And Hagar had to learn to live with it. Sometimes that happens in our lives, amen? Sometimes God says, hey, I want you to face that problem. Sometimes God says, I want you to figure out how to deal with that problem. Sometimes God says, you're going to have to live with that problem. But you can put a circle around all of that and put this beside it. When you face it, when you deal with it, when you live with it, you don't do it alone. God sent Hagar back. Jesus sent Hagar back, but with the promise that he would go with her. So you have the reasons for unbelief. You have the reactions. But with every sin, there are results. There are problems or difficulties that come out of it. Verse number 10. The angel of the Lord said unto her, I will multiply thy seed exceedingly, and it shall not be numbered for multitude. Understand this. Proverbs says, good understanding giveth favor, but the way of transgressors is hard. Be sure your sin will find you out. As a result of this, Ishmael birthed an entire nation, and they're the Arab people today. And the problems that we're seeing in the Middle East today is a result of this decision right here. Verse number 11, the angel of the Lord said unto her, behold, thou art with child, shalt bear a son, shall call his name Ishmael, because God hath heard thy affliction. Even in the midst of a very difficult situation, she cries out to God, and Jesus hears her. What a blessing. But then he tells her some troubling news, verse number 12, about her son. He'll be a wild man. His hand will be against every man, every man's hand against him. He shall dwell in the presence of all his brethren. A difficult son will be born. (Laughs) I was thinking about that phrase, wild man. Well, a lot of modern day parents are raising wild men, wild children, no discipline, no standards in the home. Well, it's okay, honey. No, either you and I can discipline them now, or the prison system will later on. You know what I hate? I hate whenever the television interviews somebody, particularly a mom, and their child was involved in some criminal activity and got killed as a result of it. And the first words come out of mom or somebody else, he was such a good boy. Look, good boys don't grow up to act like that. I'm afraid that a lot of parents purposely put on blinders whenever it comes to their children. If I could say one thing to parents and grandparents today, wake up and see the truth about our children and our grandchildren. Whenever somebody would approach us, whenever our children are young, and say, your child did this, our first reactions were never, they would never do that. It was always, well, probably did. You know why? Because they're wicked. My kids were so wicked and evil and mean. It's unbelievable. I tried to get Tina out of them as much as I could. She's in We Church, amen? So, amen. Amen. A difficult son was born. Can I tell you that every time we go into sin, there's always going to be a scar of some sort. Now, can I say this? God can take that scar and turn it into something beautiful. Amen. We sang earlier today. Steve had no idea what direction the mouth is going. But God knows the path that I'm going to take. He even knows the wrong path that I'm going to take. And He's still at the end of that. A difficult son was born. The next two I got from somebody else because I just couldn't think of anything else to work into here. One of my friends wrote, a dysfunctional family was burdened. They were already a little dysfunctional. Can you imagine how this happened now? Abram is 86 years old. A ripe age to be having a newborn. It's not until he's 99 whenever God finally visits with him again. Even though sin, this sin was accomplished by the will of men, God's going to use this for His glory. God can take the most vile sin, the most vile, sinful condition that we can get ourselves in, and still make something beautiful out of it. You know why? Because He's God. We live in this world. There will be sins and there will be times when we react badly. We react badly and wrongly and sinfully to the trials and the problems of life. But past sins are wrong choices. Bad reactions do not have to mark our lives. If we confess our sin, He is faithful to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. There are still consequences, but even with those consequences, God is still able to carry us through. I don't know about you, but I've made some bad choices because of unbelief. And whenever God began to expose that in my life, there were times that I was unaccountable. No. I was unreasonable. Or I even ran from it. Maybe you're here today. You're going through something. You're reacting in a way that you should. You know what God says? Stop. Submit yourself. Trust me. That's the underlying thing that Jesus was trying to tell Hagar. Hagar, trust me. Trust me. Unbelief leads us into some incredibly bad situations. But there's forgiveness. There's cleansing. And there's restoration. I may have a scar, but that won't determine the rest of my life. God help us today to live for Him. Heads bowed, eyes closed.